Welcome in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Got a lot to get to on the Vols coming up in this hour. And then Brian Smith from the Houston Chronicle joins us at 9 o'clock to discuss the latest with the Houston Texans and Deshaun Watson. So looking forward to that conversation. Then Hal Gill at 9:30, Preds radio analyst, will join us to look ahead at the Predators road trip against Dallas. So all that coming up still here on the show. And earlier in the show, we were talking about, you know, the head coaching position at Tennessee, the decisions that you're going to have to make. And the Athletic was down. The site was down. It was undergoing some maintenance, but now it's back up. And Ryan Porth, Joe Rexroad has a new article on theathletic.com. And you know what that means.
Did you know Joe writes for The Athletic?
So, I'd like to promote a couple things on The Athletic.
Oh, good. Real quick. Good.
You guys really think I'm a good promoter?
Yeah.
Probably the best in the league.
Yeah, that's what they say. Top three. Yep. Right up there.
Yeah. Here's another edition of Shameless Plugs with Joe Rexroad.
Here is another edition of Shameless Plugs with Joe Rexroad. He is the best in the league, and he is our very own Joe Rexroad. So, Joe, you've come out with a new article on theathletic.com about Tennessee football, the coaching position, how attractive it is, the job Jeremy Pruitt did, and much, much more. So without further ado, I'll let you set this up. What was the centerpiece around this article? Where did this idea come from?
Well, first of all, I mean, let's just put this all together. I'd also like to take just a moment here to say happy birthday to Katie Rexroad. So I'd like to also promote my wife, who, and I know it's being married to me is like the gift that keeps giving every day.
Happy birthday, Katie.
Yes. Happy birthday, Katie. And thank you for that lovely intro. I feel like putting on a leisure suit every time I hear it. This is basically an idea that came, you know, immediately from all this, like, okay, so, you know, how do people really view this job? I mean, honestly, you know, people are going to say what they're going to say, but you mentioned it earlier in the show, Robbie, you know, Jeff Brohm, like, why is Jeff Brohm not jump at this job? Why are we talking about the coaches at Iowa State and Cincinnati right now, like, as if, like, that's, you know, some lofty situation that the Vols couldn't possibly crack into, you know? That shouldn't be the case. So anyway, I've been covering sports for a long time and mostly college sports, so I know a lot of coaches. And I mean, I put out a line to a lot of coaches and I ended up getting five who would agree to talk about Tennessee, Pruitt, cheating. I mean, look, I point blank, like, okay, you cheat, right? Tell me the freaking truth. if I was in a room with like one of those, you know, like an interrogation room with like the light that you can shine on someone's face, you know, I would have gotten better. But I got a little bit of admission on, you know, just the reality of cheating. But, you know, what you have is, I think a lot of coaches look at Tennessee and they look at the SEC as it's just a different deal. Like, there's not an option to not cheat in the SEC, unless you're Vanderbilt, I guess. You know, so a lot of discussion. But what it came down to is, and you know, I'm not going to give the whole story, but a lot of interesting comments, both good and bad, about Tennessee and about this situation, because that's another big part of this is, now that we've seen Tennessee do this thing, which is kind of a trend now, the NCAA rule book is largely worthless. But ADs are starting to figure out, hey, if we have a little bit of language in these contracts, and I just got schooled by this coach's agent and we owe this coach millions, maybe a little NCAA violation action can get us out of the buyout, or at least reduce it. Kansas tried to do this with David Beatty. I mean, it's just pathetic, really. If anybody is familiar with the case, and this is mentioned in the piece, I mean, they fired him. He was terrible. He deserved to be fired. But then after the fact, you know, they basically like were trying to not pay his $3 million buyout because of, again, the violation was like the video guy, like, talked to players in the field, you know, and was doing some coaching on the field. And so it went through this whole big legal process. And in the end, Beatty got $2.55 million of the three. His lawyer was Michael Lyons. Jeremy Pruitt's lawyer right now is Michael Lyons. And I'll tell you what, this is not – now I'm not talking about my story anymore, but I've had some conversations even by text this morning. Man, get the popcorn out, because we have certainly not heard the last from Jeremy Pruitt. And then you take it to, really, how much in the end is this – how much damage is this going to do to Tennessee?
Yeah, that's a great question, and certainly not over with at all on that front. And it's interesting, like, you look at this job, and I think a lot of people, especially Vols fans, look at it as, you know, this administration, the leadership at Tennessee, it's been so bad, and they've had, you know, decision after decision that they've bungled, press conference after press conference that they've bungled. And I just wonder, like, how much of the state of this program right now is just the fact that nobody can hire the right coach. I mean, you look at Dooley, it was a disaster. Butch had some moderate success. Jeremy Pruitt obviously was not ready for this, and it was a total disaster. So I think, you know, you look at this program right now from the outside, and it's easy to say, well, that program's just not what it once was. Like, it's not what it was in the 90s and the early 2000s when Philip Fulmer had it rolling, and it's never going to get back to that point. And it's easy to say that, and I understand it, but how much of it is just they've just hired guys that in some cases have no idea what they're doing and don't know how to handle being an SEC head football coach at this level at Tennessee? I think that's been a big part of it as well. I certainly think that was a part of it with Jeremy Pruitt, and I get it. The coaching search happened the way that it happened, and that's really the hand that you were dealt, was to go out and get Jeremy Pruitt. It's pretty obvious. He had no clue what he was doing, and I wonder how much of this is just simply they've not been able to hire the right guy, and not just everything in the circus that is around Tennessee with the fan base and the administration and the leadership and the different ADs that have rolled in and out of there. A lot of this is just you can't hire the right coach, and you haven't been able to hire the right coach in a long time. And if you can fix that and hire the right guy, maybe this thing turns around relatively quickly.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's and you mentioned those facts. I mean, like the fan base, again, I can't find a coach who looks at that as a bad thing. Okay, yeah, you got some crazy fans, you know. You got social media is a headache for all coaches, but yeah, most coaches in college football, and really like most, like a vast majority, want more fans, you know, want more people to care about the programs they coach. So this is, when you have this kind of following, it is a positive if you're a coach looking at the job. Most things are. I mean, most things are still in place. Yes, there are some people who have unrealistic views of Tennessee. If you're just saying, hey, this program should be winning an SEC championship every third year. Okay, well, let's list out some of the other programs. But it's also cyclical. So we've seen this with Alabama. We've seen it with LSU. I mean, go down the list. These programs cycle up and down. And that's the thing that's hard to figure for Tennessee, is it's been such a down cycle at a place that shouldn't have that. But I think you just hit it. You've made bad choices, I think, certainly in coaching hires. And I think you could argue maybe in AD hires too. And I think that's the part of this that is just so critical right now, that they get an athletic director. Look, I don't think John Curry was necessarily a bad AD. I think he could have done a good job. I think he was the right profile of AD. I do think that how he handled that search was obviously, it was pretty dumb because he got himself fired. But also I thought he was a bit maybe condescending, you know?
Yeah.
And certainly you saw in some of the comments he made about fans, you got to get someone there who – one, the people can get excited about, who has the qualifications to do the job, because Philip Fulmer did not have the qualifications to do that job. He was a stopgap. And the hope was, well, he knows football and he's won at this program and all that stuff. But you need an AD there. And then the AD needs to be able to do the job. And I think that's what people have the question about now, as much as anything, is can you do the job there as a coach, as an AD? Like, are you going to be allowed to do that? Are you going to have leadership that says, here, everything you need, have it? And frankly, I mean, let's be honest here. Are you going to have leadership that says, everything you need, and we're going to go back to turning our head the other way and go get those five stars? Or are they actually going to be like, now, we don't cheat here. Integrity, NCAA rule book is the law. That's a real question too, because there's no coach who's being honest who looks at the Tennessee job and looks at the SEC and thinks that you know, you can just completely abandon how things have been done for a long time and win. Although there was one coach who told me he thinks you can win at Tennessee without cheating. But also kind of admitted, can you win championships? I don't know.
I don't know. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from Camden texts in and says, this program is being set back another 10 years by this whole situation. Tennessee needs to hire the guy that will get them to the next guy, meaning we need to get the guy that's going to win 7 to 8 games a year and restore the reputation of the program. So Matt going with the idea that you're not going to find the guy in this coaching cycle that comes in and just totally changes things around where you're competing for SEC championships every other year or every third year. But maybe this is an opportunity for Tennessee to hire the guy that can reestablish the floor of being 6, 7, 8 wins per season and maybe going to get the next guy after that. And that's not a bad thought, actually. I mean, I think Tennessee fans, if you told them that you could in the next 2 to 3 years get your floor to 8 wins and then go out and try to find the guy that brings you over the top, they'd sign up for that right now. The problem is that's been very difficult to come by.
Well, that's an interesting point. And I would also say that is coaches looking at this job right now. Here, let me read from the story. Quote, this is a coach, you know, anonymous coach in this story. Quote, is the next guy going to be Tennessee's version of Matt Luke at Ole Miss? Take a depleted roster, clean things up, clean up the image, but don't really get the opportunity to win like you should. Just make it a great job for a bigger fish to come along. And then you have to ask if the things Pruitt has done are being done all over the SEC, and is that what you have to do at Tennessee? But the point there being, I don't know that I want this job if I'm just going to be Matt Luke. So you're just bringing me in to, yeah, okay, you know, do some work, get it better, and then thanks. And now we can hire the coach we really want. I understand the thinking there, but you have to look at this like this next coach we're hiring is going to be our coach for the next 15 years. And if we don't think he can be, then we can't hire him. And I know it's easy for me to say that because I'm not in on the discussions and the hiring process, but I don't think you can look at it let's have a bridge coach here. I think that's a bad way to go.
When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on Tennessee and their head coaching. Sir, get your reaction as well at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a lot of your texts to get to, and we'll do that coming up here after the break. But I've got a word from FanDuel and football fans. I've got the perfect way to make the playoffs even more exciting this weekend, and it's called a same-game parlay bet, and they're only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. A same-game parlay lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during the conference championship round this weekend, and you can combine the money line, the over-under, and player props all in one parlay. And best of all, FanDuel is letting you protect that parlay. That's right. So that means you can place a 3+ same game parlay and get up to $25 back if you fall one leg short with same game parlay insurance. And the playoffs are the perfect time to give one a shot. It's just one of the many ways to win on FanDuel Sportsbook. I've used it all year long. They've got live betting on every game, a range of betting options like player props and futures. Whatever bet you're looking for, FanDuel Sportsbook has it. So if you haven't already, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up to get started. Use my promo code ROB, that's ROB, at sign up. That's promo code ROB at sign up. And if you're already a customer, you're all set. Just go check out the same game parlays only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
College football coaches are aware that they have opportunity. Look no further. Again, I'll use Luke Fickell because he's been one of the big names. Remember, everybody thought Fickell was going to take the Michigan State job, and he looked around and said, nah, I'm good. And he stayed at Cincinnati because what we have now is levels of rising coaches that understand that they don't want to go somewhere unless they have a tremendous amount of security and a tremendous amount of faith that they'll get the time that they need to build the program in their direction. There's nothing that we've seen from Tennessee that makes anyone believe they'll get that. So in theory, they're going to be either looking for a coach that they're hiring too early, or if they want the coach that they want, if they fall in love with somebody that's truly qualified, that person is A, going to have hesitation, and B, going to work out that contract to make sure that they don't put themselves in that situation.
That was Jason Fitz from ESPN, who was on with Stillman and Company, talking about the Tennessee job and the perception out there from coaches that maybe Does he's not giving people enough time to come in and build the type of program that they wanted. Joe, it's interesting to think about it that way because I do think if you're a coach and you've seen what's gone on over the last 12 years and just the different amount of coaches that have come in and out of there, and granted, they've been different situations. I mean, Kiffin left on his own accord. Dooley came in, and the recruiting was falling apart towards the end. Butch came in and got it to a place of respectability, and then all of a sudden you could tell that was going downhill in a hurry. And Jeremy Pruitt has NCAA problems that are going on right now. So different situations, but it is a fair point that there hasn't been a long tenure for a Tennessee coach in a long time. How much of a factor do you think that is? If you're a prospective coach who's had success at the head coaching level in college football and you're looking at this job and considering taking it, how much do you factor in that, man, they seem to be really willing to move on very quickly if things don't get better in a hurry at Tennessee?
Well, hugely, but now you add on, not only are they willing to move on in a hurry, they're willing to go ahead and, you know, just completely screw themselves over to get out of a buyout, whether that's totally accurate here or not. Again, how do coaches look at this? One of the coaches I talked to said, man, I knew this was happening weeks ago. Now, did he really know, or was it just sort of reading tea leaves? Right. I don't know. But the bottom line is coaches look at this situation and say, oh, so Tennessee, if you don't win, they're willing to go ahead and take on some violations to not pay you. Why do I want to go there? I mean, this does not help Tennessee hire a coach. Now, I'm quickly going to go on the other side of that and say I still have my doubts, you know, that it deters too many people. But we're talking about a small group of people that Tennessee should be interested for this job. You know, Fitz brought up a great point there, and he brought up Fickell and Michigan State. And some of my understanding of, you know, Fickell's decision not to go there, some of that, you know, was kind of some questions about some things said and done at the trustee level. I mean, that stuff like that scares people off. You know, Michigan State's a great example, by the way, of a place where they went for a long time struggling to, and it's not the same level of program of potential as Tennessee, but it's pretty good. And they struggled for a long time to win, to find a coach, to make a good hire. And a lot of the problem was the president and AD situation. They didn't have everybody on the same page. They got that. They got Mark D'Antonio hired. They had a great decade of football. That's you gotta have a leader. You gotta have administration and trustees who are going to be one, you know, competent, but also willing to let then the sports people do the sports stuff and basically just give them what they want. And that's the reality of college football at this level. You got to have administration who's going to fight for you and give you whatever you need in terms of resources to win, or you will not win.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dan texts in and says, am I wrong in assuming that the president and the other powers that be in Tennessee are just getting in their own way? Is UT not a sleeping giant of a football program? How many stadiums in the country can host over 100,000 people? They've got elite facilities. The program has elite NFL players like Peyton Manning and Alvin Kamara, Jamal Lewis, Eric Berry, going on down the list. What am I missing? That's a great point by Dan, and I think he's right. There's been a whole lot of getting in your own way with Tennessee over the course of the past decade, and that to me is how they've ended up where they've ended up.
Well, yeah, for sure. Now, the sleeping giant thing, I agree to a point, but again, it's hard to win in this league. And you just listed some players. I mean, let's compare Tennessee's turnout of NFL players over the last however many years you want to do it, 5, 10 years, to Alabama, to LSU, to yep. Georgia. It's way behind that. So, and that's the thing too. And one of the coaches I talked to brought this up in the piece I wrote about this. He's like, where's the disconnect? You know, they've recruited well, but I'm not seeing it on the other side. Why is that? You know, well, I mean, my quick answer is they didn't have a good enough coach, and Butch Jones wasn't a good enough coach, and Derek Dooley wasn't a good enough coach. They haven't had a good enough coach since Lane Kiffin. And by the way, why have we not mentioned Lane Kiffin?
Yeah, look, Trey Wallace mentioned it on the Power T podcast a few weeks ago that apparently – before he signed his extension at Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin was checking around, seeing what was going on with Pruitt, seeing what the future looked like. If you're Tennessee, do you make that call? You make a call over to Oxford, see if Lane Kiffin's interested?
Well, look, Fulmer's gone. So, like, yeah. If Fulmer were still AD, I'd say don't even bring it up. Don't bring it up. Would the next AD make that call? What I always hear on Lane Kiffin is, like, there's still some people in Knoxville who will say, hell no, it's not happening, based on the experience from before. So, I don't know. I mean, most of the people in the positions of power right now are way, after Kiffin was there. So, frankly, yeah, I'll make the call.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a good coach. I mean, would he be interested in, you know, I mean, at Ole Miss, you don't have the same pressure, but you're also on the West side, you know, which is definitely harder. And you don't have the same potential. You don't have the same potential at Ole Miss that you do at Tennessee. That's just period, point blank, and you never will.
And it's interesting. Like, I've heard some Tennessee fans throw this out the last couple of days and said, you know, this whole mess started with Fulmer being fired and Kiffin coming in. Wouldn't it be fitting to fix the whole thing with Fulmer essentially being run out the door and Kiffin coming back in? It's like going full circle in this program, Joe. That opportunity is on the table.
I tell you, man, it's amazing. Maybe all along this has all been building toward the triumphant return of Lane. I mean, just imagine that. But look, I mean, it really comes down to you've made bad choices. I still, like, it's still a long way to go from winning 8-9 games like Butch was able to do and actually being able to go toe-to-toe with Alabama, Georgia. I mean, the only way you do that is if you have a whole bunch of 4 and 5 stars on your roster, and then please tell me how you do that. How do you do that?
You cheat.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have a system in place where you cheat and you don't do it stupidly. Yes. I mean, I'm sorry. And I mean, we could sit here at a million press conferences and listen to Tennessee's leaders talk about, oh, the next coach will – you know, future players, we will integrity. You'll come here, and all those future players are like, okay, well, I'll look somewhere else. It's just not reality. So, but look, I mean, that's also par for the course in this world too. Is a whole bunch of empty statements at press conferences, and then people know how things actually work in the real world.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris texts in. And it says, in one day, Fulmer goes from Vols legend to a Trojan horse. Fulmer turned out to be a mere profiteer. It's time to rename the street in Knoxville. So Fulmer getting paid. Ooh. He's been out the door. And Chris has had enough. Fulmer's in there for the money, and he's ready to rename the street.
Man, that's rough. Hey, Philip Fulmer still won you a national championship. I mean, that picture, I just looked at the picture on the internet of him holding up that crystal ball, right? I mean, if you're a Tennessee fan, you're of a certain age, like that's not going away. The guy gets to keep the street. He gets to keep the money. He was not a good AD. But again, like, to me, that's just a footnote in his career. But I understand people being upset with him.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a Doug from Franklin text in and says, what is Tennessee doing for assistant coaches? There's two openings and 3 expiring contracts. Is there still a hiring freeze? Who's going to want to take on a 1 or a short-term contract as an assistant coach? I think the assistant coach will get figured out when the head coach gets figured out. And I mean, look, I guess you could have the option of keeping Jim Chaney around. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Jim Chaney will be out the door.
Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, the big contract for him. So let's keep that in mind when we talk about buyout money. You know, you got to pay him some, but yeah, he won't be. And again, it's got to be AD, and then it's head coach, and then you talk about assistants. I think Kevin Steele is only here because he saw this coming,
right?
And saw maybe an opportunity to get his shot. But I don't see any assistant who would be qualified to work at Tennessee even glancing there until we know who the AD and head coach are.
When we come back, what are the favorites for this job at Tennessee? What are the names that Tennessee should be interested in calling and making the first call? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
If you can't win the right way, you don't belong here. If there is anyone in our athletics departments in Knoxville or elsewhere who hasn't heard that message yet, you're hearing it now. If you can't win the right way, you don't belong here.
Randy Boyd, Tennessee president, at the press conference the other day talking about the way of integrity at Tennessee and the way you've got to win at that football program in that athletic department. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. A great song by Brooks and Dunn to lead us back into the segment that Joe Rex Road is a big fan of. And another thing that Joe Rex Road is a big fan of, I know, is just the rumors going around about Hugh Freeze and the obsession that some Tennessee fans appear to have with Hugh Freeze. It's time to accept your fate. It's not happening. Hugh Freeze not going to be the coach. There's no way in the world Tennessee can get up there and say everything that they said on Monday about being a program that wins the right way and, you know, has integrity and all these different things, then goes out and hires Hugh Freeze. So I think it's time to officially kill those rumors. I know that based on social media, some things I saw yesterday, some responses on Twitter to Hugh Freeze, many Tennessee fans have not given up yet on that dream, but it's over. It's not happening.
I mean, I'm almost like, I almost want to say to those Tennessee fans, okay, fine, go tweet at players. That's even better than begging Hugh Freeze to come to Tennessee. It's not happening. Now, we come in with that clip from Randy Boyd, and like my blood boils every time I hear it. It's such a joke. But I'll pick and choose, you know, Randy Boyd comments that I think are worthwhile or not. And, you know, he has said it, and, you know, Blake Topmeyer got additional time with him to really lay it out. Like, if you've had compliance issues, then you're not going to be considered for the job. Hugh Freeze is out. And we don't even know, like, Greg Sankey might jump in anyway. This came up when South Carolina was open and people were talking about Hugh Freeze. So it's not happening, because this is the reality of college sports. If you've been caught speeding, you're a cheater. Everyone speeds, but if you haven't been caught, you are a paragon of virtue. So that's all it is. So if you can stand up there and you can say, hey, this person has integrity and does it the right way because this person hasn't been caught cheating, then that's what you will do. And so in the meantime, in the real world, the next coach of Tennessee is going to come in and is going to understand that there's a booster network and that there's a system for all these things. And really it comes down to assistants who take the fall, as we've seen with two Tennessee assistants who have been fired for cause here. And that coach is not going to say, this is done, guys. We're done. We're not cheating. I don't care that the rest of the SEC does. I tell you, it's room, tuition, and board, and that's that. And we're just going to win the right way, and then they will be fired in 2 years.
Joe, we're getting a lot of votes on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, for an outside coaching candidate here that we haven't really talked about. Kevin texts in and says, Jim Bob Cooter for head coach at University of Tennessee. If that doesn't scream Tennessee, I don't know what else does. We got another texter that says Jim Bob Cooter for head coach, T. Martin for offensive coordinator, Gerard Mayo for defensive coordinator. So we're just going all the way Tennessee here with this. I like it.
Yeah, it's got to be the Tennessee guy, huh? Jim Bob Cooter is a Tennessee alum. Where the heck is Jim Bob Cooter?
I don't even know. Well, that's why we don't know. Apparently he's on the staff for the Jets, or was. So,
oh, boy.
That's why we didn't know.
He actually did a decent job for a short time there with the Lions. There's some people like you get so caught up in the list of like, this is the list, you know? I mean, you do need to, I think, like you need to expand it. Someone on Twitter was throwing out, I think it was Zach Reagan, threw out, what about like PJ Fleck at Minnesota? Now, I know PJ a little bit from when he was at Western Michigan. I think he's, like, I would not just completely abandon that idea. The problem is, I do think it's important to have ties down here in terms of recruiting.
It's way too Butch Jonesy for me. I can't stand the thought of him just sprinting down the sideline for no reason.
Right, but I mean, and yes, he is that kind of guy. He's definitely a slogan guy. You know, he's a, you know, row the boat and ski you ma, whatever. But he's a pretty effective coach. And I know this year, you know, was kind of disappointing, but I mean, the results to me tell you that that stuff can work too. I understand you don't want some, but the thing is, if you keep firing coaches at this rate, eventually, like, someone is going to compare to
that is true.
Like all of the fired coaches, you know. I don't think that's the craziest idea though. But I mean, people like that, I think you got to have an open mind with some coaches who aren't the hot coaches right now are Campbell and Fickell, right? Those are the hot coaches right now that everyone thinks, you know, they're going to get to that. Well, I shouldn't say get to the Power Five level because Campbell is, but you know, they're going to get to the upper reaches of the Power Five at some point soon. But there are other good coaches out there who could come and do the job, like Greg Schiano as a model, not him specifically, but that's kind of the model. Someone who, you know, has done a good job. And you know, like Paul Christ at Wisconsin, he wouldn't take it, but like when Arkansas went and got Bielema, that was, you know, I think about that. Pat Narduzzi at Pittsburgh, you know, I mean, they've been okay, you know, but I mean, that's a tough league. It's a tough job. If you go 7-5 at Pittsburgh year after year, that's actually doing a pretty good job. You know, there's other people to think about outside of this tiny circle.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steven texts in and says, what about the Mad Hatter? He was winning 10 games every year at LSU. It would at least be interesting. I mean, there's no question that it would be very interesting. Mad Hatter's not going so well at Kansas right now. I realize Kansas is very difficult to win, but it's not going very well for Les Miles at Kansas.
You know, when Rick Barnes got the Tennessee basketball job, there was a lot of, oh, so Rick Barnes managed to get another payday. And that was totally unfair, as we know now. And he has done a great job, and he had all the energy in the world to keep doing a great job. I look at the Mad Hatter like a dude who just got paid one more time.
Yeah.
You know, like I think it's just too far on the other side, man. But hey, if you want to talk about interesting, I'd sign up for that interesting. I mean, it would be fascinating to see how that would work out. That's a little bit too far, but there are other, you know, people like that, that I think could get into this mix.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon texts in and says, if he gets fired with cause and you save the Pruitt money, why can't we just overpay and poach a coach for that we know will succeed? They have the money, make some offers that can't be refused. Turn it around now. Even with the upcoming discipline, we can bribe a good coach with an over-the-top offer. Tennessee can afford it. So what do you think of the idea Heidi throws out there of saying, you know what, Tennessee's got money. Just go get a coach that you know can win and that's proven and offer them more money than they can refuse to turn down.
Heidi Corleone making an offer that can't be refused, huh?
That's right.
Who is that? What? Tell me what coach that you know. Well, I mean, what's the list of coaches that you know will win at Tennessee? Who? What's that list?
Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney. I think Jimbo Fisher would win at Tennessee. And I'm looking around the rest of the SEC right now. I don't know.
Dan Mullen,
maybe. Yeah. That's about the end of that list in the SEC. And I know Clemson's not in the SEC, but he was the first one that came to mind.
You're not getting any of them.
No.
I mean, you can offer them as much money as you want. I mean, if you're them, you're in a situation where you know you are winning and can win and have security. I mean, frankly, I mean, yeah, it's just, I understand the sentiment, but it's not reality. And it's such a tiny, tiny list of people that you know are going to win.
So if you had to pick a dream hire that is at least somewhat realistic for Tennessee right now, so I'm not talking Nick Saban, I'm not talking Dabo Sweeney, anything like that. Like if you're Tennessee and you're the new AD that gets hired, who's the first person you're calling on the phone to gauge their interest level?
I mean, I think if I'm talking dream hire of what should at least be semi-realistic. I mean, I do. I mean, look, I know it's obvious, but Fickell and Campbell both to me are really good.
Yeah.
But I will say too, and I've written it already. I'll probably write it again. You know, Tom Allen is I'm a big fan of his. I just don't think you can over look. You know what a big knock on Dan Mullen was coming out of Mississippi State. Okay, Dan Mullen can do more with less. Great. Dan Mullen, you know, has done well with quarterbacks. Great. But when you take him to the Florida or the Tennessee level, can he really be in those waters and still win at that rate? I think we're finding out, and we're going to keep finding out. Yes. If you can do more with less, then I think for the most part, you can do more with more too. Yeah. And so I just think Tom Allen is a great coach, a great motivator, a great recruiter. And they have done things that you should not be able to do at Indiana. It is a basketball school, and football's like fourth or fifth on the list of things people care about. So to me, he's the one that people are way overlooking. I don't know if you could get him, but it's just like you said with Jeff Brohm earlier. Dude, you can't get the Purdue coach. You can't get the Indiana coach. But that's the problem Tennessee's in too, is all these things we've been talking about make it harder to hire people that you should be able to hire at the snap of a finger.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, I know he signed with Alabama, but what about Bill O'Brien? He's done it at Penn State under worse circumstances. And that is a very intriguing name out there. I don't think it's going to happen at Tennessee, but how much interest, if you're Tennessee, would there be on Bill O'Brien coming in for the job?
I mean, look, I don't hate it because I agree. At Penn State, that was a bad, bad situation when he took it over, and he did better than I ever would have guessed. And I think he's a good coach. I think he's a god-awful GM, and you just have to separate that out. He's not going to come to Tennessee. I was going to say he's not going to come to Tennessee and trade away Eric Gray and Henry Toto, but of course they're already gone now. Yes. So, but, you know, I think that's a call you make too. Like, hey, great. You got the DC or you got the OC job under Saban, but we can give you a primo head coaching, top 15, top 20 head coaching job in America right now. What do you say, Bill? I think it's worth a call and a conversation. I like that one.
When we come back, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. We throw out different scenarios, both sports and non-sports, and then we debate on our responses to those scenarios. Always love your participation as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. And it's that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. We throw out different scenarios, both in life and in sports, and we debate on how we would respond to those scenarios. Ryan Porth and Joe Rex Road have done an outstanding job the last couple of weeks on The Choice Is Yours. I am back in the questions chair this week. So, Joe Rex Road, where do you want to start? The sports, non-sports, which way are we going?
You know, there's been a lot of non-sports this week around Tennessee. Let's go for some sports.
All righty, let's go sports. All right, we'll start in the NFL playoffs. It's 4th and 10 from the 50 late in the game, and you need a first down to stay alive. You can pick any duo left in the playoffs. Which one are you going with? So you've got Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, maybe Kelsey in the mix as well, Brady Gronk, Brady Evans, a lot of options out there. You can pick any option you want. Where are you going? Who would like to start? Ryan Porth, would you like to start on this?
I'm thinking.
Joe Rexrow, would you like to start on this?
Yeah, I'll start. And I tell you what, my first instinct, and you should usually go with your first instinct, you know, like in a standardized test, is Mahomes to Kelsey, but I'm going to change that. I'm going Rodgers to Devontae, man. I mean, it's just, to me, it's the most lethal combination. And I think Allen Diggs is a good one too. But I just think when you absolutely have to convert, I'm going the best quarterback this year to the best receiver this year.
Ryan Porth, 4th and 10 from the 50. You got to have it to stay alive. Which duo remaining in the NFL playoffs are you going with?
I'm going Mahomes to Kelsey.
Okay.
I think Travis Kelsey, you can draw up any sort of route for him. You can say that about a lot of these receivers, but I would trust Kelce. I would trust Mahomes to be money in that situation. Not that I wouldn't trust others, but I would trust them the most.
I think there are a lot of great options here. I think we all know which direction I'm going in this conversation with Rodgers and Adams. I mean, that is number one on the list for me. The chemistry those two have is borderline freaky at times. I would go Mahomes and Hill probably number two. It is interesting, like, we've seen Brady have to come up with some big moments in the playoffs, and he's got some weapons there in Tampa Bay. I didn't even really consider Brady in a part of this behind or in front of Mahomes or Rodgers, but talking about a guy that's gotten it done a lot of times in the playoffs, Joe Rexroad and Tom Brady.
Well, yeah, and a guy in Gronk who he's gotten it done too, if you wanted to go that route, not to mention all the good receivers he has, but that's just how good the top levels of quarterback play is. I mean, it makes Brady like an afterthought in a situation, in a conversation like this.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, I pick Aaron Rodgers to A.J. Dillon in a delayed handoff. Just run the old quarterback draw. A.J. Dillon right up the
Let's see how that works for you.
Hey, he's a big back, man. Hard to bring down. Titans found that out firsthand. All right, switching gears to non-sports. Would you rather be an average person in the present day or the king of a large country 2,500 years ago? So you got all the modern technology of today, but you got the royalty, the power of being a king 2,500 years ago in a long country. Which way are you going? Ryan Porth, we start with you.
Average person, normal day.
You don't want the royalty?
No, I don't. Not 2,500 years ago.
Why not?
I mean, you wouldn't have...
You like running toilets?
You would have no technology whatsoever.
Well, no, you wouldn't. That's the point. But you have everything. Everything is served up to you, man. Do whatever you want. Joe, which way are you going? Would you rather be an average person now or the king of a large country 2,500 years ago?
I mean, look, the thought of like a nice big cup of mead and like my own huge like turkey leg and some... You know, everyone fawning all over me and bathing me and some court jester running around and, you know, hey, let's go invade this country.
Did other people bathe kings 2,500 years ago? Ugh, that'd be something.
I mean, well, I guess I'm just sort of guessing on that. But, you know, I mean, honestly, like, I feel like I really like deodorant. You know, like, I just, of all the things you could have gone with,
I really love deodorant.
Instead of technology, Joe wants the deodorant.
I mean, can I get a little shampoo in my hair every once in a while? I can't go there. I feel like, you know, just personal hygiene alone is just something that was not good 2,500 years ago. So I'm going to go ahead and go average person today.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in and says, Joe's jester would be Skipman. So if your jester is Jared Stillman, does that change your answer at all?
I mean, if I'm allowed to send him to the guillotine, maybe. Maybe. I'm just kidding, Jared. I'm just kidding. I would merely lock you up in a cellar for a year and then make you come out and have less hot takes.
Ryan Porth is dying on the other side of the glass in here right now. What you've done to me. He's totally lost control. You're crazy. I'm choosing royalty. I will be a king 2,500 years ago. You will live the best possible life you could live in that setting. I understand you're not going to have your smartphone. You're not going to have your television. You're not going to have football. And all those things really hurt me. But I would be very interested to see what life was like as a king of a large country in 2,500 years ago. You could invade people for no reason. Porth is still crying over here.
But you wouldn't have deodorant.
No, well, you know what? You could find some spices or something and get that thing mixed up the way you want it. Somebody'd find you something in the kingdom. So give me the kingdom of a large country 2,500 years ago. Let's switch
back. I mean, medieval Skipman feeding you grapes, that sounds all right.
Just lay back in the chair on the throne. Let's switch back into sports. All right. You can put Philip Forsberg on a line with any centerman in NHL history outside of Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux. So I'm excluding Gretzky and Lemieux from this conversation. Who are you putting with? Who are you putting on a line with Philip Forsberg? Joe Rexroad, would you like to begin?
Well, okay. I mean, look, I'll go a little bit fanboy growing up as a kid. And I'll go with my guy Stevie Y.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Stevie Y with four. Now, you know, he played with a lot of great forwards over the years, over a lot of years, and he was always, you know, for many of those years it was Gretzky, Lemieux, and then number three is Stevie Y. He's pretty good too. He was better than pretty good. He was incredible. That would be fun to watch, and Philip Forsberg would absolutely benefit from that. That would be a blast. So give me one of my childhood heroes, Steve Yzerman.
Big Steve Yzerman in the mix. Ryan Porth, you can put Philip Forsberg on a line with any centerman in NHL history outside of Gretzky and Lemieux. Which way are you going?
I'm going to go with Joe Thornton in his prime.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because Joe Thornton in his prime was absolutely dominant with the Sharks, and wasn't there a year where he had like 90 assists?
Yeah.
Or 100.
You're talking about one of the best setups.
Maybe not. I think it was more like 90, not 100. But, I mean, he would set up Forsberg perfectly in his prime. So I'll go with Jumbo Dro.
I like that one. I'm taking a different approach on this one and just basing it off the pure fun, I think, it would be to watch these two play together. Give me also another former Detroit Red Wing, Pavel Datsyuk. Can you imagine the skill set, the dangles involved with Datsyuk and Forsberg on a line together? Datsyuk was a very good player, an elite-level player. Probably not a player you ever considered as the absolute best in the game. And, like, if I chose Connor McDavid right now, he's a better player than Pavel Datsyuk. But, man, that guy may have been the most fun to watch that I've ever seen at the NHL level. Datsyuk and Forsberg together, come on.
I'm surprised that none of us went with Peter Forsberg.
Yeah.
In his prime.
I considered it. But that's too easy.
That's a good call, too. By the way, Stevie Y had six straight seasons of 100 points or more, including one with 155, and a 90-assist season, a 79-assist season. So, you know, I just want to make sure everybody acknowledges.
You want a cookie?
Stevie Y getting the job done with the Red Wings. He's a great player. There's no question about it. Let's go to non-sports again. If you had to be haunted by a ghost for the rest of your life, but you could choose which the dead person it was, who would you choose as your ghost? So there are intriguing options, a celebrity standpoint here, maybe a favorite comedian of the past, maybe a favorite athlete of the past. If you had to be haunted by a ghost the rest of your life, but you could choose who it would be, where would you go? Joe Rexroad, would you like to begin?
Okay, so I want to make sure I have this right. So when you're saying you can choose who you're haunted by, and this is someone who is deceased now?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'll go like 1957 Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one. That's a very good one. Nicely done. Ryan Porth, is there anyone that comes to mind? Maybe a Cincinnati Reds legend of old. I've got him stumped.
I'm stumped on this one. I'm going to have to think about it for a few more minutes.
I can switch the question on you if you want. We'll give you your own question. Would you rather be able to use only a fork or a spoon? You have to pick one. You can't use both. There's no sporks allowed. And the fact that I just switched that up on
him. It's actually a great question.
Well, Joe, what would you say? It's a fork or a spoon?
Oh, I mean, you have to pick spoon because... Even though I use the fork way more, but you have to pick spoon because some things you have to have a spoon, right?
Yeah. Porth is totally useless again. He's laughing in the background. Give me a spoon. Thank you. I'm going fork. Have a little fun with it.
Do you want me to
embrace the challenge? This question.
Do what?
I want somebody to answer the ghost question.
I would love to answer the ghost question. I would pick Robin Williams. I would love for him to be my ghost for the rest of the time. Apparently, this is a really difficult question for Porth. He can't think of one person in the history of mankind that is no longer with us that he would like to haunt him. It's unbelievable. And he's not even approaching the microphone right now. So that's going to wrap up this edition of The Choice Is Yours. He is totally useless. He's on the floor laughing, and we got to move on with the show. Great edition today. Way to go, boys. Really appreciate your participation.
You better have an answer after this.
Yeah,
after
you better
break.
Think about this during the break. When we come back, we will get into the latest with the Houston Texans and Deshaun Watson. Brian Smith from the Houston Chronicle will join us. That's coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.